a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
The Senate will come to order. Good afternoon. Leading us in prayer today is Reverend Paul Bly of the Fort Pierre Ministerial Association. Following today's prayer will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by the page of the day, Megan Book of Wakanda.
Let us pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, we lift up before you today all who govern the state of South Dakota. Bless them with your wisdom. May they ever keep in mind that their power is a trust from you. Help them, O Lord, especially in these tough economic times, to know and to do what is right and honorable for the sake of the common good. Let your Spirit stir their discussions and their decisions with insight and cooperation. Lord, we pray also for the very poorest of our state. Be with our families wherever they may be and give them your peace. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
The Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Abdullah, Adelstein, Ahlers, Bartling, Bradford, Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gant, Garnos, Gillespie, Gray, Hanson, Tom, Hanson, Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howie, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Gerstead, Klochek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Northrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Teason, Trebek, Berry Valley. There's a quorum present, Mr. President.
Approval of the journal.
Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Secretary of the Senate has had under consideration the Senate Journal of the 29th day. All errors, typographical or otherwise, are duly marked in the temporary journal for correction. We hereby move the adoption of the report. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Is there a second? The motion is to approve the journal. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. Members of the Senate, Senator Nesselhoff asked the Senate welcome to the Senate Gallery, the Vermilion Christian Homeschool Association. They are in the gallery at the rear. Would you stand and be recognized? Welcome. Also, Senator Gillespie asks us to welcome and recognize the Honors Government class from Dakota Valley with their instructor, Kim Bacon. Would you stand from Dakota Valley? There they are. Reports of standing committees.
Mr. President, the Committee on Appropriations respectfully reports has had under consideration House Bills 1025, 1031, 1033, 1048, 1069, 1173, and 1270, and recommends said bills do pass, and House Bill 1081, which was amended, and recommends said bill do pass. Jean M. Hunhoff, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Local Government respectfully reports has had under consideration House Bills 1145 and 1243 and recommend said bills do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Jason M. Gant, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Health and Human Services respectfully reports has had under consideration House Bills 1239 and 1240 and recommend said bills do pass. Stanford Adelstein, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Transportation respectfully reports that it has had under consideration House Bill 1121 and recommends said bill do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. Michael Valley, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on State Affairs respectfully reports has had under consideration House Bill 1251 and recommends said bill do pass, and House Bills 1009 and 1129 and recommends said bills do pass and be placed on the consent calendar. And House Bill 1276, which was amended, and recommends said bill do pass. Thomas Dempster, Chair. Also, Mr. President, the Committee on Legislative Procedure respectfully reports that the Office of Engrossing and Enrolling has carefully compared Senate Bills 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 19, 23, 35, 40, 45, 46, 51, 69, 73, 76, 109, 119, 121, and 122, and finds the same correctly enrolled. Respectfully submitted, Bob Gray, Chair.
Members of the Senate, I ask your attention. Would you please welcome my daughter, Laura, who's here with me on the podium. She is a former intern, a former paid. A report of select. We'll move now to order of business six, reports of select committees.
Mr. President, your joint select committee appointed to make arrangements for legislative days respectfully reports that we recommend the following change to the calendar of the 84th legislative session. Friday, March 6, 2009 will become the 34th legislative day and will observe the Tuesday-Thursday committee schedule. Respectfully submitted, Jamie Boomgarden, David Lust, Mark Feinstein, House Committee. Respectfully committed, submitted, Bob Gray, Dave Knudsen, and Scott Heideprim, Senate Committee.
Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I have the honor to return here with Senate Bills 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 19, 22, 35, 40, 45, 46, 51, 69, 73, 76, 109, 119, 121, and 122, which have passed the House without change. Also, Mr. President, I have the honor to transmit herewith House Concurrent Resolution Number 1012, which has been adopted by the House, and your concurrence is respectfully requested. Respectfully, Karen Gertis, Chief Clerk.
Motions and resolutions.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 1012, a concurrent resolution supporting the exploration and development of energy resources.
The committee referral of House Concurrent Resolution 1012 is waived, and HCR 1012 will be placed on tomorrow's calendar. Further motions or resolutions? Seeing none, we'll move on to Order of Business 9, consideration of reports of committees.
Senator Knudsen moves that the reports of the Standing Committee on State Affairs on House Bill 1112, as found on page 550 of the Senate Journal, also State Affairs on House Bill 1177, as found on page 549 of the Senate Journal, be adopted.
Is there a second? The motion is to adopt the reports of standing committees. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We'll now take up the consideration of the Joint Select Committee report, which was just read a moment ago.
Senator Knudsen moves that the report of the Joint Select Committee relative to arranging legislative days for the 84th legislative session, as found in the Senate Journal of the 30th legislative day, be adopted.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion? Senator Knudsen?
Mr. President, we would be adopting the committee report from the Legislative Procedures Committee, which met today, which would make up the legislative day we missed last Thursday due to the storm by going on this Friday. So, again, I know there had been previous discussion about possibly moving that to the 31st of March, but in the end, the committee determined to move it to this Friday, so we meet all 5 days this week and all 5 days next week. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question being Senator Knudsen's motion that the report of the Joint Select Committee on Legislative Days be adopted. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. Those in favor, please rise. You must vote, senators. Those in favor of the motion, please rise. Be seated. Those opposed, please rise. I'm not sure all members have voted. We're going to do that again. Please be seated. Those in favor of the motion, please rise. Senator Schmidt, are you voting aye? All right. Be seated. Those opposed, please rise. The vote is 18 in favor, 16 opposed. Motion carries. Move now to second reading of consent calendar items.
Senator Knutson requested that House Bill 1255 be removed from the consent calendar.
House Bill 1255 will be removed from today's consent calendar and placed on tomorrow's second reading of House Bill's calendar.
House Bill 1050, an act to revise the annual financial reporting requirements of insurance companies. House Bill 1148, an act to clarify requirements for employment of a city engineer. House Bill 1214, an act to remove certain speed restrictions for certain vehicles hauling agricultural products or livestock.
Items on the consent calendar were reported out of committee with no dissenting votes, unanimous due passage recommendations. No debate is allowed on any of the consent calendar items. Only questions for clarification. Are there any questions on the consent calendar items? Seeing none, the question is the consent calendar items. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Bella. Aye. Adelstein. Aye. Ahlers. Aye. Bartling. Aye. Bradford. Aye. Brown. Aye. Dempster. Aye. Frisley. Aye. Gant. Aye. Garnos. Aye. Gillespie. Aye. Gray. Aye. Hanson-Tom. Aye. Hanson-Gary. Aye. Haverly. Heideprim, Howie, Unstead, Unhoff, Jurstead, Kochek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden, Schmidt, Teason, Trebek Berry, Valley, Senator Bradford. Bradford. Senator Bradford. Mr. President, there are 33 ayes, 2 excused.
So the consent calendar items have received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect. The President declares the consent calendar items are passed. Any remarks on any titles? Hearing none, the titles are deemed correct. Members of the Senate, the following bills have passed both houses of the legislature, and I'm signing them in your presence. House Bill 1108, an act to repeal certain provisions relating to the purchase of stationery for county officers. House Bill 1126, an act to revise certain provisions regarding a private applicator of pesticides becoming a qualified driver for the purpose of motor carrier safety. Senate Bill 12, an act to limit the amount of tax refunds for construction projects that are located in areas that are included in a tax collection agreement between the state and an Indian tribe. Senate Bill 13, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the title to real property obtained by a tax deed. Senate Bill 14, an act to revise certain provisions regarding references to the Internal Revenue Code and to repeal an obsolete reference to the Internal Revenue Code. Senate Bill 15, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the confidentiality and release of certain child abuse or neglect information. Senate Bill 16, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the taxation of biodiesel and biodiesel blends. Senate Bill 19, an act to revise the grounds for which continuation or conversion is not required for certain group health policies. Senate Bill 23, an act to revise the state trunk highway system. Senate Bill 35, an act to revise the definition of an assisted living center. Senate Bill 40, an act to revise the financial assurance requirements for responding to accidental releases of chemical or biological or leaching agents from certain permitted mines. Senate Bill 45, an act to provide an exception to the practice of seclusion as it pertains to the treatment of a person with a developmental disability. Senate Bill 46, an act to change the name of Adjustment Training Center to Community Support Provider. Senate Bill 51, an act to provide for a drug screening program for certain applicants and employees of the Wildlands Fire Suppression Division. Senate Bill 69, an act to revise the requirements for a fire equipment shop. Senate Bill 73, an act to permit persons 16 years of age to donate blood under certain circumstances. Senate Bill 76, an act to require background investigations for certain optometrist licensees and applicants. Senate Bill 109, an act to revise the provisions for the risk pool to allow uninsurable children to enroll and to provide for additional funding. Senate Bill 119, an act to revise the authority of the state, counties, and townships to transfer highway right-of-ways under certain conditions. Senate Bill 121, an act to revise certain provisions related to municipal election procedures. And finally, Senate Bill 122, an act to clarify the status of property contiguous to a municipality that is crossed by railroad property. Members of the Senate, please join me in welcoming and thanking the doctor of the day, Dr. Mark Buback from Sioux Falls. Dr. Buback, thank you for your service, sir. We'll move now to order of business 14, second reading of House bills and joint resolutions.
Senate Bill.
Senator Knudsen.
Are we on the second reading of House bills?
Yes, we are.
At this time, Mr. President, I would move that we defer action on House Bill 1215 until this Friday, which would be the 34th legislative day, and defer action on House Bill 1118 until Tuesday, March 3rd, the 31st legislative day.
Is there a second? Second. Remarks on that motion? Hearing now the question being Senator Knudsen's motion that we defer action on House Bill 1215 until Friday, the 34th legislative day, and also defer action on House Bill 1118 until Tuesday, the 31st legislative day. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed nay. Motion carried.
House Bill 1024, an act to authorize the Department of Transportation to regulate the operation of off-road vehicles in certain state highway ditches.
House Bill 1024 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 1024 is a bill that authorizes the Transportation Commission to regulate the operation of off-road vehicles in certain state highway ditches. Currently, they're allowed to operate as close as possible to the outside edge of the right-of-way. Unfortunately, a lot of times they operate on road edges or they go down the center of the ditches and they do a considerable amount of damage to the ditches. This requires the Department of Transportation increased maintenance costs. A lot of times they'll also be seeing, jumping the approaches, and when there's puddles in the ditches, it's a new term which I hadn't heard of. It's called muddling, I guess. You go down in the puddles and you have great fun and you tear up the ditches by muddling through them. The problem is not only does it tear up the vegetation, but it also creates drainage problems. Ditches are part of the highways by law and there are provisions for damaging them. But the problem is how do you assess that? And the other problem is it's an accumulative process. It isn't just that one four-wheeler that went through it. It's an accumulation over time. So how do you assess the damage? This gives the Transportation Commission the authority to close certain section when they see that damage. And the reason they gave it to the Transportation Commission, originally it was set for the Secretary, Department of Transportation, but then that takes rulemaking, that takes 3 months to take care of, and by that time a lot more damage has been done, and also the summer or whatever it is almost over. So by giving it to the Transportation Commission, one, it gives pre-notice that they're looking at closing off a certain section of road, maybe it's 3 miles that is involved in this, and then it gets a hearing before the Transportation Commission, which meets monthly. So with that amended, it passed the House 66-3, and then it passed your Senate Transportation Committee 6-1, and I would encourage your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Senator Valley, can you describe the difference between muddling and noodling?
Senator Valley, do you wish to respond?
Noodling requires a deeper thought process. Muddling requires a lot of mud. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on House Bill 1024? Hearing none, the question, Senator Brown.
Question for the sponsor.
Yes, state your question.
Senator Valley, in the first section of this bill, we say that the Transportation Commission or county commissioners can issue an ordinance which would prohibit this. I'm a little bit concerned that our Transportation Commission is not authorized to issue ordinances per se. Is that going to cause a problem?
Senator Valley, do you wish to respond?
I'm afraid I can't give you a definitive answer because I'm not a legal scholar to know what the difference would be there in an ordinance. The process to do this was, rather than having it go to the Secretary of Transportation, as I explained earlier, and go to the Transportation Commission, is one, it would take care of the situation faster, and secondly, there would be notice, and there would be an opportunity to have a discussion of it before a board.
Senator Brown, you still have the floor if you wish it. Anything further? Any member have any further comments? Senator Hunstad?
Thank you, Mr. President. I also have a question of the sponsor.
State your question.
My question would have to do with the people being notified who no longer could use the ditch. Would there be signage put up? Would we require extra legislation to make this happen? Or at least would you fill me in, please?
Senator Valley, do you wish to respond?
As I understand the process, Senator, it would have to be, a notification would be given as on the agenda of the Transportation Commission, so it would be on the agenda. And then secondly, it would be discussed at the Transportation Commission, and then they would put up signage. And the signage would be at the beginning of where the problem is, at the end of where the problem is at, and then in intermediate areas where there is, let's say it goes 3 miles, let's say, at each intersection there would be signage.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks or questions on House Bill 1024? Seeing none, the question is House Bill 24, final consideration. Those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? Adelstein? Ahlers? Bartling? Bradford? Brown? Dempster? Frisley? Gant? Garnos? Gillespie? Gray? Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary? Haverly? Heideprim? Howie? Hunstad? Hunhoff? Jurstead? Klocek? Knutson? Maher? Merchant? Miles? Nelson? Nesselhoff? Nordstrup? Olson? Peterson? Roden? Schmidt? Teason? Trebek Berry? Valley? Senator Bradford?
Mr. President, there are 27 ayes, 7 nays, 1 excused.
House Bill 1024 has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is deemed correct. Members of the Senate, Senator Bradford asked the Senate welcome to the Senate Gallery the Wounded Knee District gifted and talented students from 4th through 8th grade from Manderson, South Dakota, among them Mr. and Mrs. Woods accompanying Georgia Poirier, Jocelyn Koloff, Teresa Badmilk, and Joey Dorr. Would you stand? Welcome. We'll continue now with second reading of House Bills.
House Bill 1090, an act to prohibit the possession of Salvia divinorum or Salvinorum A and to declare an emergency.
House Bill 1090 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Miles.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 1090, we've got a powerful hallucinogenic drug that's appearing to gain popularity among our high school and college students. The drug known on the street as Salvia, or short for Sally D, some refer to it, is referred to as Salvinora divinora. It's appeared in head shops in several cities in South Dakota, most recently in Deadwood, Keystone, and Sioux Falls. Salvia has been compared to the LSD of the 60s, has adverse hallucinogenic effects on individuals, and monitors known as sitters are kind of required to ensure that the users are protected from harming themselves while using this dangerous drug. Some people have, it's resulted in harm or death. Missouri actually passed a law called Brett's Law in honor of a young man that committed suicide while using Salvia. So we're talking about a potent medication or potent drug. Currently, this drug is not illegal in South Dakota, but its time has come. We need to protect our youth from this drug before it becomes better known and more widely used. Thus, the emergency clause on the bill. The federal DEA is in the process of determining whether to put this underneath a controlled substances classifications and hasn't determined that yet. But this bill is supported by the Department of Health, the Attorney General's Office, South Dakota Sheriff's Association, State's Attorney, and mental health counselors, because it is such a dangerous drug and we needed to keep and protect our youth from using it currently. So I ask for your support also in passing this bill. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks?
President.
Senator Teason.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. I rise in support of this bill. You know, you start feeling old when something comes along that you've never heard of before, and I saw several of those during my career in law enforcement, and now here comes a new one that I heard nothing about. Luckily, when I called some of my law enforcement friends in Rapid City, they hadn't heard of it yet either. But it quickly became apparent that this is being sold in some places around the state. I think there's adequate evidence that there's danger associated with this drug. I'm not sure we know exactly how serious that is or what kind of addictive effects that it has. Therefore, I think that the penalty that we've attached, which is a relatively low penalty and not a Schedule I drug like the bill started with, I think that's appropriate. I also think that the emergency clause is appropriate. I think that it's be a good thing for us to close the shops that are selling this, try to keep it out of the hands of our youth. I think ultimately if the DEA schedules this drug that we may want to or need to amend the penalties and change it accordingly. But I think this is a good first step, and I urge your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on House Bill 1090? Senator Bradford.
I have a question, Mr. Sponsor.
State your question.
Can I ask how you how they are going to identify the person who has already taken this drug? Is there certain actions or symptoms that...
Senator Miles, do you wish to respond?
I'll try. We had the state chemists from the state lab identified it. They're able to identify the plant. Because it has a short-acting half-life right now or life, it's hard to determine. They haven't got a urine test or a blood test to identify if you consumed it. But law enforcement said they could probably identify based on the bizarre behaviors, hallucinogenic effects, that type of thing. And then they can extract, the chemist can extract Salvinora A is the active ingredient from that plant. Does that answer your question?
Senator Bradford, thanks. You still have the floor, sir.
Follow up.
Yes, that's granted.
Then it's more identification of the actual item in possession. It's not so much that an arrest would be made by my actions. Is that true?
Thank you. Senator Bradford, anything further? Thank you, sir. Further remarks or comments or questions? Senator Abdallah?
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just add that the testimony says that this drug, this weed, is only raised in the hills of Mexico, so it's being shipped in, imported, and so... that's the only place it's growing.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question is House Bill 1090. Again, it has an emergency clause, as was mentioned, and thus a two-thirds affirmative vote is required for passage. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah?
Aye.
Adelstein?
Aye.
Ollers?
Aye.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford? Brown, Dempster, Frisley, Gant, Garnos, Gillespie, Gray, Hanson-Tom, Hansen-Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howie, Hunstead, Hunhoff, Jurstead, Klocek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Norstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden?
Aye.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Turbeck Berry? Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 34 ayes, one excused.
House Bill 1090 has received an affirmative vote of a two-thirds majority of the members-elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1159, an act to provide for the adjustment of prices in certain public contracts.
House Bill 1159 has had its second reading. It's now up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Gant.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 1159, in both its original intent and in the Hog House version, allows local entities to treat contractors fairly, while at the same time allowing contractors to bid at current lower prices, knowing that they can adjust later. Meaning, the local entities won't have to pay higher costs for the full length of a contract. They can start with lower prices, then adjust as necessary during the term of the contract. The bill primarily deals with things that are hauled. Consider an example of garbage hauling contracts. Naturally, a component of the bid for the contractor is going to be fuel prices. And to make sure they don't get stuck, the contractor would reasonably bid what could be the highest fuel prices. So even though gas is less than $2 a gallon right now, the bidder would reasonably figure in their bid, as we've seen over the past past year, that a $4 per gallon price would be more reasonable. If the city opted to use the provisions of this bill, they could establish a procedure to allow the bidder to factor in current prices, knowing they'd be allowed to adjust as necessary in the future. Now, this is completely permissive legislation for the local government to go into this process, and it's going to be an opportunity for the local government to invariably save money, save taxpayer money, and keep more money in the pockets of the taxpayers. So I would encourage your support of House Bill 1159.
Further remarks? Senator Edelstein?
You all have at your desks an error in an amendment. On 1090. What I should have done was simply struck the word not.
Senator, are you on? We're discussing House Bill 1159.
Oh, I made a mistake. Okay, I see what you're doing.
Oh, excuse me. Senator, you have a motion at the desk on 1159, the Secretary just informed me. Madam Secretary, will you read that?
Senator Adelstein moves that House Bill 1159 be amended as follows. On page 1, line 8 of the House Commerce Committee engrossed bill, strike the word not.
That's right.
Remarks on the motion to amend. Senator Adelstein.
What this would then read in that, it would then read, that sentence would read, we're 1159, correct?
All yes, right. Sir,
1159. In the on line 8, we strike the word not. Therefore, that line will read, it will start at the beginning, for material supplies contracts pursuant to that paragraph, any local government may include a procedure for adjusting prices to meet changing market conditions not within the control of the vendor. The adjustments may result in the profit of the vendor and shall an increase in the profit of the vendor and shall be supported by written justification. What I base this on is that we believe in profit in this country, and depending on what the item is that's being sold, what is involved in delivering the product, the number of dollars involved, that there may be a requirement and a fairness in allowing profit to that vendor That's the reason I suggested the amendment.
Further remarks on the amendment? Senator Gray?
Mr. President, I'm still not sure the amendment is in the form of the sponsor wishes it to be. I think you read it as he submitted it to the desk. Is that correct?
The way it's submitted to the desk is strike the word not
okay.
on page
okay.
1, line 8.
All right. Thank you.
Senator Kolchak?
Permission to speak to the amendment and the bill, Mr. President?
Yes, that's granted.
Well, Mr. President, I come forward in support of the Adelstein amendment. I think that he's right on target. I had these same questions in caucus, and I would urge, or in our committee hearing, and I would urge, are we putting price controls on? What are we doing with our state government versus our garbage collectors and our other people that are involved in the industry? And if one hand to protect government, but also we have to look out for our industry and our consumers and our business people, and I do support the Adelstein Amendment. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm members of the body.
Further remarks on the amendment? Senator Gant.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition to the amendment of striking the word not on line 8. When you read line 6 and 7, you see that, and then on the first part of line 8, you see that this bill is dealing with those changing market conditions that are not within the control of the vendor, which fuel prices are, of course, not in the control of the vendor. So the intent of this bill is not to stifle any profit from the business in their main activities of their business, but for those operations of their business that are out of their control, such as fuel prices, I don't think, and this bill doesn't think, that that windfall of taxpayer money should go to the vendor just because they had to put in a contract and market conditions are out there changing, especially with fuel prices, that there's no need for us to have to spend even more taxpayer money to give this type of vendor a windfall there when it's clearly not in their control. So let's defeat this amendment.
Further remarks, does anyone wish to speak before Senator Adelstein speaks on the amendment a second time? Senator Adelstein.
Let me give you an example of which I'm really very well aware because it has happened in South Dakota. Rather than we talk about oil prices, let's talk about cement. And let's take a company whose principal business, or a division of a company whose principal business is furnishing ready-mixed concrete. And cement goes up, in one case it went up almost 30%. All over the United States. This contractor still has to purchase the cement, has to stockpile it, add it to the two kinds of aggregate, add it to the water, put it in a truck, and haul it. And I certainly believe that when his commodity goes up, the basic commodity of his product goes up, he may have a contract with the county or the city to furnish concrete in a given year, but he's entitled to profit for this increase in cost. It's just the way we do business. Profit is not a dirty word in this country yet.
Further remarks? Seeing none, the question is the Adelstein Amendment. Those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
The president is in doubt. Those in favor of the amendment, please rise. Be seated. Those opposed to the amendment, please rise. The vote is 12 in favor, 22 opposed. The amendment fails. Further remarks on House Bill 1159. Senator Kolchak.
Mr. President, I'm members of the body. Well, I just want to remind this body what you're doing here is voting for price controls. And I never thought I'd see the day that we would do this. We are, in one way, helping the local units of government, but another way, we're hurting them because we are punishing free enterprise, the right to make fair profit, as Senator Adelstein said, and do business in South Dakota. And I don't know any garbage haulers that are getting rich off of hauling garbage for county or cities. In fact, they're struggling. And now we're putting a cap on them to boot. I didn't hear anything about putting a floor in this bill. We're not guaranteeing them anything on the bottom side. We're only putting a cap on their profits. And I I'm amazed, to say the least, that we're doing this here in the South Dakota legislature. Thank you, Mr. President, honorable members of the body, and I plan on voting a very loud no.
Further remarks on House Bill 1159? Seeing none, the question is final consideration of House Bill 1159. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah?
Oops, excuse me.
Adelstein? No. Ahlers?
No.
Bartling?
Aye.
Bradford? Brown? Dempster? Frisley? Gant?
Aye.
Garnos?
No.
Gillespie?
Aye.
Bray?
No.
Hanson-Tom?
Aye.
Hanson-Gary?
Aye.
Haverly?
Aye.
Heideprim?
No.
Howie? Unstead?
No.
Unhoff?
No.
Durstead?
No.
Pocek?
No.
Knudsen?
No.
Maher?
No.
Merchant? Miles?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Nordstrup, Nesselhoff, excuse
no.
me. Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Roden? Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Trebek-Berry? Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 19 ayes, 15 nays, 1 excused.
House Bill 1159 has received an affirmative vote of the majority of the members elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1184, an act to clarify provisions dealing with the initiative process.
House Bill 1184 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Gray.
House Bill 1184 amends our current initiative process. I believe it is an effort to provide greater transparency and more information to the public in those situations where we have people trying to put issues on our ballot. Essentially, it does four things. First, it requires the Attorney General's ballot explanation to be provided to the sponsors prior to circulation of that measure. Second, it requires that the explanation be provided to anyone signing the petition. Third, it moves up the filing deadline to the first Tuesday in November versus the first Tuesday in April. However, it still does allow 12 months of circulation. What this will do is allow an intervening legislative session. So if there's something put on the ballot in November, we would have an opportunity to address that issue. And fourthly, in Section 9, this bill would allow the sponsors to withdraw that initiated measure, whereas they cannot do that currently. With that, I would ask for your support of House Bill 1184. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Klocek.
Mr. President, I have some grave concerns about this issue. I've had some issues presented to me from some people that have taken the issues to the ballot in order to make a bill that I have some concerns with a little bit better. I do have an amendment at the desk, and I do believe the amendment has been distributed, and I would waive its reading at this time, Mr. President.
Senator Klocek moves that House Bill 1184 be further amended as follows, 1184-TA.
Okay. Does any member not have a copy of 1184-TA? Any member not have a copy? It has been seconded. Reading is waived. Senator Klocek, you have the floor on the amendment.
Yes, Mr. President. I'd briefly describe what this amendment does. And it simply on the different pages you see on those amendments, it gives those people more time to appeal the Attorney General's opinion to go from 15 to 21 days and from 5 to 15 days. And then also it takes that petition out. And what that petition does, every time you or I would carry something to the ballot, and I've done this, every signature we'd have to hand a piece of paper to that individual and have them keep it. And it would be a tremendous obligation, a tremendous burden for our state that is known as the self-guarding state, the watchdog of our laws. That petition process has been in here since statehood, and it would really complicate it and make it much more difficult. It would require a front-end planning process, and it would work for sponsors before the sponsors could even circulate the petition. Ladies and gentlemen, the Senate would be a forced speech issue. We would suggest that it violates the free speech amendment. Requiring petition circulars to hand out the AG's explanation is called forced speech. They may not agree with what his analysis says, but to circulate the petition, they must hand it out. This violates their First Amendment rights, and in my opinion, there's no question on that. The bill requires the AG to give this explanation to the Secretary of State and mail a copy to petition sponsors. If they want to contest the AG's explanation, the signer must file a court within 7 days. The court must hear the case in 15 days, and they must appeal in 5 days. And that is a very, very short time. People I've talked to feel this is unfair, and it's a forced rush through the court system. Some speed to trial would be warranted because they want to hurry up and get it done, but this is much too fast, and the language is the cut-and-paste language from the current statute. It is not necessary now as the circulators begin this process much sooner than the November 1 before the election. Why do we need this extreme rush to trial in this new time flowchart scenario? It's unfair to petition sponsors and deprives them of the right to fair trial when there's no need for such a fast rush. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, we believe in the people's right to circulate, the right to challenge our laws here, the right for them to disagree, to change our laws, or to create new laws. That is the people's right in this state. Let's not hamper that. Let's not restrict that in any way, shape, or form, and let's not take any chance on the constitutionality question of free speech. I guarantee you that I would ask that you support this amendment and then do what you want with the bill. But for the good of the people of South Dakota, the initiative process, something that we hold near and dear to our hearts, let's not tinker with it in this manner. Let's try to do something a little better and support the amendment. Thank you, Mr. President, honorable members of the body.
Remarks on the Klocek Amendment. Senator Gray.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just trying to decipher the amendment. I'm not sure I have considerable objections to the numbers changes, so to speak. But in terms of actually handing out that explanation when you sign a petition, we often talk about openness and transparency in this chamber. We've talked about it for at least the last 3 years. I think it's being open, it's being honest, it's being transparent. I could stand in front of the Rapid City Civic Center or the Sioux Empire Mall and say, are you for mom and apple pie? Guess what, you're gonna sign that petition. Are you for jail for judges? They did sign the petitions. We think that you ought to know what you're signing. And they ought to show you what they're wanting to get done rather than just say, are you for mom and apple pie? Everybody's gonna sign that. I don't think any of us here want to stifle the people's right to get on the ballot. I think we want to make it work better and not be used as a guinea pig in this state for some extreme out-of-state organizations just to try to change our laws. Well, that's what this is about. I don't think it's unreasonable at all, and I would just urge you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Nesselhoff.
Thank you, Mr. President. Permission to speak to the bill and the amendment.
Yes, that's granted.
Thank you, Mr. President. I can totally relate to what my friend from District 24 was just talking about. I think he makes perfect sense. This is about openness. It's about transparency. And that part of the bill, I absolutely support. I do have a bit of an issue. Let's remember, when we talk about actually handing something to everyone who signs, it's to get something on the ballot, 16,776 signatures. So you need at least 25,000 signatures, which means you're asking citizens, and ideally, I mean, the initiated measure process was set up in 1898 in South Dakota. We're the first state to ever do it. We want to empower our citizens. I'm not certain that empowers our citizens when we say you must create 25,000 copies of the Attorney General explanation to hand out with every signature. I think it makes perfect sense to have the Attorney General write an explanation, and it makes perfect sense to require that any person gathering signatures have that on hand, and if they had a laminated copy there that they could have somebody read before they sign it. I think that that is perfectly legitimate. But I understand why this is before us, and it is exactly as the Senator said. Too many times we have been used as a a laboratory where they try and run some out-of-state group comes in and tries to run some zany idea up the flagpole, see if they can get any support, because we do have these loose laws that allow citizens to put initiated measures. I would propose to you, however, this doesn't stop that in any way, shape, or form. What we're doing and what we did after the Jail for Judges issue, we ran up several more restrictions on people's ability to put something on the ballot. And what we're doing is, in fact, only limiting the groups that we claim we want to support, the small citizen grassroots organizations that are not well-funded, that really are not that familiar with the process, that are just a concerned group of citizens that want to put something on the ballot. That's really who we're limiting here. When an out-of-state group comes in with money, this is not a problem for them. Coming up with 25,000 copies of something, that's, you know, a couple $1,000s worth of copies at Kinko's, that's not going to be an issue. But it is the small grassroots South Dakotan groups that I think we want to protect. So I would ask we support this amendment. I think it does get exactly to the transparency issue without this cumbersome need to hand out 25,000 copies of something. And I think this makes sense, and I would urge the senator to reconsider his position on that. I think if we pass the amendment, we can fully support this bill and feel good about ourselves.
Further remarks on the amendment? Senator Gillespie.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, members of the body. You know, it seems to me that Senator Klocek's amendment, especially the first three lines, are a very a good idea for us to consider. You know, the Attorney General in the proposal has 60 days to consider the language and 60 days to file the title and the explanation. And to give proponents of either the initiated measure or the constitutional amendment only 2 weeks, I think, is really unfair. And all he's adding is a few extra days, and in consideration that the Attorney General's office had 60 days to review, I think it's only fair that we give a little extra time to the proponents of the measure. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks on the amendment? Seeing none, the question is the amendment. Those in favor of the Klocek amendment say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
No.
A roll call has been requested. Is he supported? He is supported. Those in favor of the Klocek amendment say aye. Those opposed say no. The secretary will call the roll. Senator Klocek requested roll call.
Senator Abdallah? Excuse me, Senator. Senator? I couldn't hear you. Edelstein? Ahlers? Bartling? Bradford? Brown? Dempster? Brisley? Gant? Garnos? Gillespie? Gray? Hanson-Tom? Hanson Gary, Haverly, Heideprim, Howie, Hunstead, Unhoff, Jurstead, Klocek, Knutson, Maher, Merchant, Miles, Nelson, Nesselhoff, Nordstrup, Olson, Peterson, Roden,
no.
Schmidt, Heason,
no.
Quebec-Berry, Valley. Mr. President, there are 16 ayes, 19 nays, one excused.
So the motion has failed to receive an affirmative vote of a majority of the members present. The motion to amend fails. Further remarks on House Bill 1184? Does any member wish to speak on House Bill 1184 before Senator Gray speaks the second time? Senator Gray.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, I think House Bill 1184 is a good bill. I think it's a good effort toward improving our initiative process. I am told, by the way, just for further information, that the length of time to appeal the AG opinion in this bill is exactly the same as it is now, for what it's worth. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Gerstead.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I rise in support of this bill. I found it objectionable a year ago when I was passing through the campus of Augustana and approached, and somebody said, "Hey, do you want to sign a petition here to help old people from being scammed on the telephone?" Oh, like a really good idea. I said, "Let me see that." But it turned out to be not that at all. It was about the short selling, naked short selling of stocks. And I really object to that. So I think it'd be a good idea if this kind of thing were done and, you know, we have information up front there. Thank you.
Further remarks? Senator Klocek?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. I'm members of the body. Well, the good senator from Sioux Falls is exactly right. It's a good concept, but the bill is flawed. It gives too short a time frame for the groups. And I'll just name a few of them: Dakota Rural Action, South Dakota Farmers Union, the Nature Societies, the different groups over the years, Audubon Society, Farm Bureau. All those people have gone to the ballot with the initiative process. And what we're doing here is forcing them to hand out cold weather, wet weather, whatever, carrying around extra copies of the Attorney General's opinion, which may or may not be accurate. It may be good, it may not. He's not always correct in the assumptions either. You know, a much better compromise, stretch out the days, do something there, and then I believe the good senator from Vermilion said have a laminated copy of the Attorney General's thing. But to force people, and I'm one of them, I've carried it in snow, rain, ice, hail, you name it. I've had a petition over the years through the weather. Not every year, but every 5, 7, 10 years we'll carry a petition because somebody asked me to. And this is going to be a burden. We're not going after the out-of-staters on this one. We're not going after the big multi-faceted, well-financed groups that get things on our ballot rather easily. We're hurting our mom-and-pop local people with this legislation. I would encourage you to vote no, rework the bill, and come back next year with something where all the parties can come together that do circulate these petitions. They can build on the future and do what's right for South Dakota. Allow that involvement. Let's not have one bad apple, as the good senator from Sioux Falls spoil the whole case. Thank you, Mr. President, honorable members of the body.
Further remarks? Senator Nesselhoff?
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, it's not often I find myself in absolute lockstep with my friend from Scotland, but today is one of those days. I really want to support this bill. The proponents give us such good reasons to do that, but I cannot do it in its current form. Again, what we have done is we've created a situation in trying to get to the jail for judges and the openness and honesty in government, trying to get at these folks, we are ensuring that in the future the only initiated measures we're going to be looking at are coming from exactly those kinds of groups. And I think that's a shame. I'm willing to put up with 10 jail for judges in order to ensure that the one time that we have a small group of South Dakotans wanting to put something on the ballot, that they're able to do that. And I'm just afraid that with this one little requirement that they have to be handing out these things at every time somebody signs up, instead of getting a packet that simply includes a petition with 30 lines for 30 signatures, now it has to include that plus 30 copies of the Attorney General's explanation. It causes me such heartburn that although I certainly applaud the proponents of this legislation and what they're attempting to do, we're just handcuffing our folks here at home, and that's a shame.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Hearing none, the question is final consideration of House Bill 1184. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdullah? Aye. Adelstein? Aye. Ahlers? No. Bartling? Yes. Bradford? No. Brown? No. Dempster? Risley? Aye. Gant? Aye. Garnos? Aye. Gillespie? Aye. Gray? Aye. Hanson-Tom? Aye. Hanson-Gary? Aye. Haverly? Aye. Heideprim? Aye. Howie? Aye. Hunstead? No. Unhoff? Aye. Durstead? Pocheck?
No.
Knutson?
Aye.
Maher?
Aye.
Merchant?
Aye.
Miles? Nelson?
Aye.
Nesselhoff?
No.
Nordstrup?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Peterson?
No.
Roden?
No.
Schmidt?
Aye.
Thiessen?
Aye.
Jerback-Berry? Valley?
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 25 ayes, 9 nays, 1 excused.
House Bill 1184 has received an affirmative vote of a majority of the members-elect and is declared passed. Without objection, the title is deemed correct.
House Bill 1228, an act to require mopeds used on public highways to be titled and licensed as a motorcycle and to increase license fees for motorcycles.
House Bill 1228 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks? Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President. House Bill 1228 does two things. One, it requires mopeds that are used on the public highways to be titled and licensed. Mopeds would now have to comply with the federal highway safety standards. Some mopeds now are being shipped into the United States and do not meet any standards, and as was stated in committee, they've fallen apart. This bill would require compliance with the federal highway safety standards. This will require that they have lights and signals. And I know if you've ever followed one of these vehicles going down the road, you want to know where that person is going. You want to know, want to make sure they got tail lights and brake lights and signals. Secondly, this bill raises the license fees on motorcycles by $5, from $9.50 to $14.50. That's up to 350 cc's. Over 350 cc's, it's an additional $5, and that would go from $12 to $17 for the license plate fees. These funds would go to the local government, and they would raise about $156,000 for your local governments. That's your counties, your townships, and your municipalities. This passed your Senate Transportation 6-1, and I would urge your support. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a question for the sponsor.
State your question.
Senator Valley, when this passed the House Transportation Committee 6-1, were they aware that those mopeds had to be licensed, to have signal lights, tail lights, and headlights?
Senator Valley, do you wish to respond?
I cannot speak for the House Transportation Committee and what each one of those individuals thought, Senator. I have no idea, but I do know that it specifically says in here that they'd have to meet the federal highway safety standards, and I think most people would feel that that would probably be the case, but I can't answer that, Senator.
Thank you. May I speak to the bill, Mr. President?
Yes, Senator. You have the floor, sir.
I would urge this body to oppose 1228 just on that argument alone. The question came up whether a moped to be licensed as a motorcycle would require headlights, taillights, and turn signals. And through the good Senator Mitchell, he checked, and that is correct. And the cost would be prohibitive. It costs more than a moped to put turn signals, headlights, and taillights on it. So I think this is a moot bill, and I urge the body to kill it. Plus, personally, I'm opposed to raising the license fees on the other vehicles.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Senator Klocheck.
Mr. President, I was in Transportation Committee, and I was well aware of the fee increases and the requirements on those mopeds, and I did vote no for those reasons and several more. What's happening, these mopeds are used as training vehicles for young children to learn how to do their motorcycles. They use them on the farm. They use them in areas that are not on the main highways. They use them in the road ditches, traveling back and forth with the fields. It's a good thing for the farmers to have those things. It's a good thing for the urban people that can go out in the areas. They're not ruining the road ditches like we've discussed in some other bills, and it's a huge issue of legality. And besides, any of you that have a big pickup or a big SUV or whatever, you try to look down and see those little mopeds going down the road, it's a safety issue. You could easily run one of those things over and not think anything about it or not even know until you're they're all, you're almost upon them. They're very small, very hard to notice, very low to the ground. And without those signals and all those other things, the bells and whistles, my good friend from Sioux Falls is exactly right. They don't even make some of those attachments to put on there. They don't even make them for those things. I know they can get a horn, but those other attachment turning signals and all those things, it's going to be a real nightmare for that. So for those reasons and the good senator from Sioux Falls, I would ask you to vote no on this and come back next year with an improved bill and maybe do something in a different direction. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm members of the butt.
Thank you, Senator. Further remarks? Does any member wish to speak before Senator Valley speaks a second time? Senator Valley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, a couple things. I think we've all seen these mopeds out on our roads. And I first would like to speak to the senator from Bonhomme County, represents Bonhomme County, is that this says to be used on public highways. So if you're using it to learn how to drive on your farm, this doesn't affect that. But if you're going to be from, let's say, the senator from Sioux Falls' area, and you've got these scooters darting in and out of traffic, which I saw even in the town of Mitchell that I'm in, I want to know where that person is, doesn't have a helmet on, and that person is darting in and out of traffic. They need to have turn signals. I need to know if they're going to all of a sudden slam on the brakes. This person all of a sudden just in front of me came over from the right lane into the left lane and then all of a sudden hit his brakes and turned into a gas station across. With no signals, you don't know where he was going. So I think it's important that we realize that these are vehicles and that they need to comply with the federal safety standards if they're going to be driven on our roads as other vehicles are. And I would urge your support of this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further remarks? Senator Bradford.
I have a question, sponsor.
State your question.
Senator, is it legal for these to be on the highway right now?
Senator Valley, do you wish to respond? Senator Valley, do you wish to respond?
No.
Senator Bradford, you have the floor, sir.
Perhaps someone else could answer that.
Can any member answer Senator Bradford's question? Senator Abdallah?
I believe it cannot. It doesn't have a license, and any motor vehicle on the highway has to be licensed.
Senator Bradford, you still have the floor if you wish it.
Well, so technically they're illegal already. I mean, in other words, if they're being operated on your roads and stuff, they should have been handled. I worry, as the good senator, that we're going to be. I can just imagine what's next. Those guys walking from White Clay to Pine Ridge will start having to have taillights and turn signals. But they duck in and out of traffic a lot. So I would say no.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question is final consideration of House Bill 1228. Because the fees raised in the latter part of the bill go to a continuously appropriated fund, a two-thirds affirmative vote is required for passage. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed say no. The secretary will call the roll.
Senator Abdallah? No. Adelstein? Aye. Ahlers? No. Bartling? No. Bradford? No. Brown? No. Dempster? No. Frisley? No. Gant? No. Garnos? No. Gillespie? No. Ray? Hanson Tom? Hanson Gary? No. Haverly? Heideprim? No. Howie? Aye. Hunstead? No. Unhoff? No. Durstead? No. Klocek? No. Knutson? Aye. Maher? Aye. Merchant? No. Miles? No. Nelson? Aye. Nesselhoff? No. Norstrup? No. Olson? No. Peterson? Roden? Aye. Schmidt? Pezen.
Aye.
Trebek-Berry. Valley.
Aye.
Mr. President, there are 14 ayes, 20 nays, 1 excused.
House Bill 1228 has failed to receive an affirmative vote of a two-thirds majority of the members-elect and is declared lost.
House Bill 1233, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the campaign finance reporting of the expenditures of certain organizations.
House Bill 1233 has had its second reading and is now up for final consideration. Any remarks?
Mr. President.
Senator Gray.
At this time, I would move that we defer action on House Bill 1233 until Tuesday, March 3rd, the 31st legislative day.
Is there a second? Remarks on that motion? Hearing none, the question being Senator Gray's motion to defer action on House Bill 1233 until tomorrow. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Motion carried. Without objection, we'll revert to order of business 7 to take a message from the House. Is there any objection? Hearing none, we'll so revert.
Mr. President, I have the honor to inform your honorable body that the House has adopted the Joint Select Committee report relative to making a change to the calendar of the 84th legislative session. Respectfully, Karen Gertis, Chief Clerk.
That concludes our business. Are there any announcements? Senator Abdallah.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have two announcements. Conference Committee on House Bill 1086. 1086 will be tomorrow, 4 p.m. at room 464, room 464, Conference Committee on House Bill 1086. Also, we have a long agenda tomorrow in Judiciary at 7:45 a.m., room 413.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Roden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Ag Committee, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Thank you.
Senator Hunhoff, and then Senator Gerstad.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Subcommittee on Birth to Three will be meeting tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Senator Gerstad.
Thank you, Mr. President. All of those who are playing Wednesday night, don't forget it, there's going to be about a 5.5-hour practice tonight. I don't know where it's going to be, but it'll be somewhere. And then, of course, tomorrow night there will be a 6.5-hour practice. And there will be a cheerleading practice for all those who are not playing.
Senator Roden?
I think I know the location of that practice. I believe it's in your dreams.
Senator Olson?
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Commerce tomorrow, 10 o'clock, room 423.
Senator Tom Hansen?
President. Thank you, Mr. President. Although the bill has already passed through the Senate, if you're interested, Michael Kenyon is doing a briefing on the land productivity system in room 414 today as soon as the House adjourns.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Garnas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Education tomorrow morning, 7:45 a.m., room 423. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Knutson, did you have an announcement? No. Any further announcement? Seeing none, the motion to adjourn is in order.
Senator Miles moves that the Senate do now adjourn.
Is there a second? Motion is to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Motion carried. We're adjourned.